Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service, text number 12. Tachtradadhana Munayo. Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya. Pasyantyat manichatmanam bhaktya sruta grihitaya. Tat, that, shradadhana, seriously inquisitive, munaya, sages, jnana, knowledge, vairagya, detachment, yuktaya, well equipped with, pasyanti, see, atmani, within himself, cha, and, atmanam, the paramatma, bhaktya, in devotional service, shruta, the Vedas, grihitaya, well received, the seriously inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes that absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from the Vedanta Shruti. Let's just repeat that. The seriously inquisitive student, or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes that absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from the Vedanta Shruti. Purport. It's quite a long purport, so please try to pay attention. It's about being serious. So I guess serious means staying awake till the end of the purport, at least. The absolute truth is realized in full by the process of devotional service to the Lord. Vasudev, or the personality of Godhead, who is the full-fledged absolute truth. Full-fledged. What's full-fledged mean? Full-fledged. That's an interesting. Complete. Yeah, complete. Fledged. What's fledged? What's the word fledged mean?
Got any feathers?
Yes. Wings. A fledgling is a small bird. Full-fledged means a bird with fully developed wings. Who didn't know that? I think fledge is, it's an old English, I assume it's an old English word, but anyway. Interesting. Full-fledged. Absolute truth. Who's Vasudev? I don't think he's Vasudev. He's maybe Vasudev Das. or impersonating Vasudev. An impersonator is very loud. Thank you. Okay. Brahman is his transcendental bodily effulgence. And Paramatma is his partial representation. So Brahman and Paramatma are aspects of the full-fledged personality of Godhead. Right? This is mentioned in the previous verse, Vedanti tat tatra vidas jnanam yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti sabyate. So the three aspects of the Absolute are mentioned in the previous verse. Right? This is why it's being referred to here. Brahman is his transcendental effulgence and Paramatma is his partial representation. As such, Brahman or Paramatma realization of the Absolute Truth is but a partial realization. There are four different types of human beings. Listen to this. The Kamis, the Gyanis, the Yogis, and the Devotees. Four types of persons. Kamis, Gyanis, Yogis, and Devotees. The Kamis are materialistic, whereas the other three are transcendental. For the Gyanis, the Yogis and the Devotees, they're all transcendentalists. The first class transcendentalists are the devotees who have realized the Supreme Person. So, qualified devotees. The first class devotees are those who have realized the Supreme Person. Not just devotees are first class. Right? We could say here, oh look, the first class transcendentalists are the devotees. That's me. But Prabhupada says, who have realized the Supreme Person. That's a first class transcendentalist, first class devotee. The second class transcendentalists are those who have partially realized the plenary portion of the Absolute Person. Who's the plenary portion of the Absolute Person that's being referred to here? The Paramatma, yes, the Super Soul. And the third class transcendentalists are those who have barely realized the spiritual focus of the Absolute Person. What's that referring to? Brahman, yes. Barely realized the spiritual focus. In other words, not material. Right? Brahman is. And so the Gyanis are known as you know, neti-neti, not this, looking at the material world and saying that the Supreme, the Brahman, is not of the material world. So it's more or less negation of the material. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literatures, the Supreme Person is realized by devotional service, which is backed by full knowledge and detachment from material association. Where did we read that? We just read that. Where did we read that? Is the translation up on the board? Have a look at the translation. Prabhupada's just repeating basically the translation. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literatures, the Supreme Person is realized by devotional service, which is backed by full knowledge and detachment from material association. If you want to know if you're making advancement in Krishna consciousness, this is the test. A test. Well, there are many tests, but certainly this is one of them. You should have some knowledge. What's the first piece of knowledge that we should know? The first bit of understanding that we should know as a result of performing devotional service. You're not the body. Yes, not this body. You know you're not this body. That's the beginning. But we should also know, we should know who Krishna is. We should know what the process of devotional service is. We should know what is to be and what is to be done and what is not to be done. Many things, actually, in this process of knowledge, cultivating knowledge. And then, as a result of cultivating knowledge, one should, and this is, Prabhupada says, that real test is one should also be developing vairagya or renunciation. Detachment. Detachment from material association. This is a real test. We'll talk about that in a minute. We have already discussed the point that devotional service is followed by knowledge and detachment from material association. As Brahman and Paramatma realization. Now, we've already discussed the point that devotional service is followed by knowledge and detachment from material association. What verse is that? Can anybody remember? Text 7. Only a few verses ago, Prabhupada was discussing it. As Brahman and Paramatma realization are imperfect realizations of the Absolute Truth, so the means of realizing Brahman and Paramatma, i.e., the paths of jnana and yoga, are also imperfect means of realizing the Absolute Truth. Devotional service, which is based on the foreground of full knowledge, combined with detachment from material association, and which is fixed, important point, which is fixed by the oral reception of the Vedanta Shruti, is the only perfect method by which the seriously inquisitive student can realize the Absolute Truth. So this is a very important point, one of the main points in this text. We'll come back to that. Devotional service is not, therefore, meant for the less intelligent class of transcendentalist. Who is the less intelligent class of transcendentalist? The jnanis and the yogis. Because sometimes Prabhupada mentions that the jnanis say the process of bhakti is for the less intelligent transcendentalists, because it's the easiest path. It's a simple path, not necessarily easy. Simple for the simple. If we accept it and take it faithfully, and this is important, Pat Swadadhana Munaya, Prabhupada translates Munaya as, he translates Munaya in two ways. Can anybody tell me, did anybody notice the two ways that Prabhupada translates the word Munaya? Student or sage, yes. Student or sage. So that's us. We might not like to think of ourselves as sages, but certainly we can think of ourselves as students. And if we're good students, then we should become sages. Or at least we should be sagacious, which means what? Knowledgeable. We should have knowledge. And the process of devotional service is so powerful for anybody. Even if one is a neophyte, one can immediately be endowed with knowledge. Pratyaksavagamam damyam susukam katam avyayam. It gives, Rajavidya Rajaguyam Pavitram Idamutamam Pratyaksavagamam Damyam Susukam Katamavyam. Is considered the perfection of religion, devotional service. The king of education, Rajavidya, but also Rajaguhyam. Very, very confidential. Very, very confidential. Even though it's open information. You know, anybody can come here and sit down and hear about this process. But not everybody comes. And we're examples, I guess. Even those who do come, you know, we sit and we hear, and we still don't understand sometimes. It's one of the reasons why it's recommended Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya, regular hearing and cultivation of his knowledge is important. But as Prabhupada says here, the only perfect method. What does that mean? The only perfect method. There's not another one. Huh? There is not another method for realizing the absolute truth than this process. Isn't that amazing? When you think about it. Simple activity. Touch Sradhana Munayo. I was listening to a class yesterday and Prabhupada was saying, Shraddha means faith. But he mentioned also it means respect. Just like, and we mentioned this when we were talking about this the other day. Pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. Pranipat means being respectful. So the process starts with respect. And the process should be respected. But you know, there are those who say, oh, you know, the path of bhakti is just for the less intelligent. But actually it's not. Its simplicity covers or masks its potency, its power. Immense potency and power. But of course, one has to have the qualifications. In order to acquire or to be endowed with, it's not so much that we acquire it. It's something that we're endowed with, we're given by Krishna's mercy. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam. I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. Not, you know, like the Gyanis or the Yogis. By their endeavours, they get some realisation. So, and mind you, certainly there is endeavour is required on the part of the devotee. But there's the endeavour of the devotee and, we could argue, perhaps more importantly, Krishna's mercy. That he bestows on the devotees, so long as they have these qualifications. And this, you know, shredded hana. Hana is one who holds shraddha, one who has faith, or one who has respect. Very important element of devotional culture and of making advancement is to be faithful to the process, respectful of the process, faithful to, well, we'll read on, we'll get some more information as to who we should be faithful to, respectful to. Now, so Prabhupada's talked about four types of people, right? The Kamis, the Gyanis, the Yogis, and the devotees. Kamis are ticked off, immediately discarded, because they're just interested in material pursuits. So, discarded, not transcendentalists. But the Gyanis and the Yogis and the devotees, in one sense, they're all respectable. because their goal is to transcend materialism, at least, to, you know, to give up the temporary material attractions. But then of the three types of transcendentalists, Prabhupada has identified that the devotees are the best. Why are the devotees the best? What's that? They've realized the absolute truth. Yes, but why have they realized the absolute truth? Huh? Yes. Yep.
Mahatmaji.
Yeah, but that's not that. None of these is what Prabhupada said. What did I say before? Because they're following the perfect process, right? Not only the perfect process. What does Prabhupada say here? The only perfect method by which the seriously inquisitive student can realize the absolute truth. Not because the devotees are perfect, but because the process that they're following is perfect. Although that makes them perfect. Right? Krishna says, Apichet Sudaracharo Bhajate Mamananyabak. One who is constantly engaged in devotional service, even if he does something wrong. Sudaracharo. Even if he does something wrong, because he's on the path of perfection, he's considered to still be perfect. That's a hard one. You know, because we see devotees doing silly things sometimes. We think, this is the perfect transcendentalist. If this is the perfect transcendentalist, or if I'm on the path of perfection, then we're in trouble. So many faults and flaws. But the process is so powerful, one can become purified. Despite oneself, despite our attachments. So, four types of people. Best is the devotee who's following. The seriously inquisitive devotee. Right? Trying to discriminate. We want to discriminate between good and bad. Light and darkness. Transcendence and bondage to the material world, if you like. The devotee needs to be discriminating. And that means to discriminate one has to be what? Inquisitive. Prabhupada says this is a symptom of human existence, is to inquire into the absolute. What is the purpose of life? Who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? You know, the animals don't inquire about these things. They're more or less just... they have inquiry, but it's all revolving around basically eating, sleeping, mating and defending. This is their level of understanding. The Jnani realizes material life is not the be-all and end-all. There's something more. So the inquisitiveness starts. And, you know, you see it in children. What's this, Mummy? What's that, Daddy? Why? Huh? Why? Do this. Why? No. Children don't understand why they have to sit down in be quiet in a Bhagavatam class. Okay. There are three classes of devotees, namely first, second, and third class. So now Prabhupada starts to talk about the devotees. He's talking about the different classes of the karmis and the transcendentalists, the materialists and the transcendentalists. Now he's talking about the devotees. The third class devotee, or the neophytes, who have no knowledge and are not detached from material association, but who are simply attracted by the preliminary process of worshipping the deity in the temple, are called material devotees. Material devotees are more attached to material benefit than transcendental profit. Who's looking for material benefits? Please raise your hands. Okay, a few honest people. But they're not even raising their hands up very high. Who's looking for transcendental benefit? A few hopeful souls. There's a lot of undecidedness here. Yes, I don't mind transcendental benefit so long as I get material benefit. When the going gets tough, then I start thinking, am I, this is what I really want? Therefore, one has to make definite progress from the position of material devotional service to the second class devotional position. In the second class position, now why is that? Why does one have to go from the third? A devotee is a transcendentalist and he's the best type of transcendentalist, but why does one have to go from third class to second class? One has to make definite progress from the position of material devotional service to the second class devotional position. In the second class position, the devotee can see four principles in the devotional line, namely the personality of Godhead, his devotees, the ignorant, and the envious. One has to raise himself at least to the stage of a second class devotee and thus become eligible to know the absolute truth. So what does that mean? We heard before that the karmis, or those who are attached to material benefits, are discarded. They're not in the list of transcendentalists. So, what's being warned against here, or what's being illustrated, discussed, is that one may be attracted to the process of devotional service, but if the motivation is material, then you're still not much different to a kami. There is, in terms of motivation at least, we'll say in terms of motivation, because obviously we know that attraction to Krishna and devotional service, even a little bit, is powerful. Neha vikrama naso sti pratyavayona vijyate salpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobayat. Who's some examples? Dhruva Maharaj is an example. Famous example, Bharat Maharaj. You know, he was very elevated. He was practically at the point of rati, prema, bhakti. But he became attached to a deer and then took birth as a deer. But then even as a deer, he got the association of the devotees and was hearing. They're seriously inquisitive, right? In the form of a deer, he was attracted to hearing. And as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, when you're attracted to hearing, you're attracted to the association of the devotees. In the association of the devotees, one will hear discussion topics about Krishna. You won't hear topics about Krishna amongst the materialists. So Bharat Maharaj is an example. Here's another example. In Arjuna Narayana Jumna, who took birth as a what? Heffalump. An elephant. Right? That's what, isn't it? Pooh, Winnie the Pooh, calls elephants heffalumps. Maharaj Indrajumna took birth as an elephant. But as a result of his previous devotional service, when he was being attacked by the crocodile, then he spontaneously offered prayers to the Lord. When he lifted up a lotus flower and offered prayers when he was about to be defeated by the crocodile, who was Maharaj Huhu. He also had been cursed to take birth as a crocodile. And he was liberated. He was liberated by Lord Vishnu, who came at the elephant Gajendra's request and chopped off his head with his Sudarshan Chakra. So devotional service has this power, this potency to elevate one, even if one has some material motivation. But in order to enhance or to speed up the process, and in order not to fall back again into materialistic life, one is recommended to move from, and we see it. We see it in our ISKCON experience. We see it in our, there are many devotees who took to the process of devotional service but weren't able to remain Shraddhadhana. In this case, seriously inquisitive. They became bewildered again by materialistic pursuits and stopped chanting, stopped following the regulated principles, stopped chanting 16 rounds, stopped associating with the devotees. We have friends in that situation. Now we know that little progress, you can make advancement. But from those examples we can see, even those who've performed devotional service, you can still go down into the animal species of life. Risky proposition. Of course, in those cases, they're special examples, and they show that even still one is elevated, but the Bhagavatam is encouraging us, don't be a third class devotee, come to the platform at least of second class. Why second class? Because the faith of the second class devotee is generally such that it's very, very strong. And so even if there are impediments, the devotee remains faithful to the process and sticks to the path of devotion. Whereas if one is a Kanishta Bhakta and performs devotional service just for material benefits, then there's every likelihood that one will become discouraged. Every likelihood. Because, you know, Prabhupada says, as soon as you take the process of devotional service, it's like declaring war on the material energy. And the material energy fights back. And, you know, if you look at the history of the great devotees, you know, Arjuna, Prahlad Maharaj, you know, you name Haridas Thakur, you look at the very exalted devotees, it wasn't like their life was a magic carpet ride. You know what I mean by a magic carpet ride? You just hop on and everything's smooth. Smooth sailing. But there's every possibility that for a devotee, because we're making a vow, I want to get out of the material world, then one's sincerity of purpose, one's seriousness, will be tested. And that will mean challenges, material challenges, apparently material. Because we know, ultimately, the material energy, Mahamaya, is an expansion of Yogamaya. And Mahamaya is working under Krishna's direction. Mama Maya Dharatya, very difficult to overcome. Mameva ye prapachyante mayamitam tharantite. But however, Krishna says, if you surrender to me, I'll make it easy for you to cross over the material energy. But one will be tested. So how does one pass the test? How do you pass your exams at university or in high school? Aditya, how do you pass your test? Study. Yay! Joy. Keep mum and dad happy, right? I used to sit at my desk and make out that I was studying. My dad said to me the other day, he said, my sons used to think that I didn't know what they're up to, but I knew what they were doing. Nothing. Or at least in one particular case, whose name I won't mention. Yes, if you want to pass your exams, you've got to study. Right? You've got to study. There's no, you can go into the exam praying like anything to Krishna. There is such a thing as Krishna Kripa. But one has to be qualified to get the Kripa. Right? Because if you had to be qualified to go and sit for the exam and pass it, you have to do the study beforehand. And so this is the process that's being mentioned here. A third class devotee, therefore, has to receive the instructions of devotional service from the authoritative sources of Bhagavat. The number one Bhagavat is the established personality of devotee. Nice description. The established personality of devotee. The number one Bhagavat is the established personality of devotee. What does that mean? Established personality. The fixed up devotee. That's the first class devotee. But, as Prabhupada says, the first class devotee comes down to the second class devotee platform to preach. So also the second class devotee, who's fixed up, can be this established personality of devotee. But this is the number one Bhagavat. This is why the devotees' association is so important. Sakam prasangam mama virya samvido pavanti hritkana rasayana kata tajoshanat asvapavarga vartmani sadha rati bhakti anukramishyati. The association of the devotees. Many verses throughout the Bhagavatam and in all of the Vedic literature that emphasize this point, that the association of the devotees is essential. You can't do without it. Our lives should revolve around pleasing and serving the established personality of devotee. That doesn't mean that we need, and actually all devotees. Why? Because they're all on the path of perfection. But especially, you know, one, even amongst the devotees, one has to discriminate, right? He sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He sees the devotees. He sees the envious and he sees the innocent. So a Madhyam Bhakta or a, you know, second class devotee is actually quite an elevated position. And one has to be discriminating. That's what this is all about. One has to have knowledge. And one has to have renunciation. How do you know what to renounce and what to accept? And how are you going to learn that? Prabhupada mentions in a number of places, simply book learning is not sufficient. Which doesn't mean that we don't study Prabhupada's books. We definitely should study Prabhupada's books. But Prabhupada created the International Society for Krishna Consciousness so we could come together and discuss this philosophy from various angles to enhance our learning and our power of discrimination so that we can be appropriately renounced. Our philosophy is yukta vairagya. Our renunciation is we'll accept anything if we can use it in Krishna's service. But there are limits to accepting everything also. Because, we can say, yes, we'll accept anything and everything, but then accepting the wrong things can again pull us down into material consciousness. So we accept things carefully. When they'll enhance our devotional service, but if they're potentially a threat to our making progress, or they may reawaken our material propensities, then we have to avoid some things. So how do we learn that? We learn that in the association of the established, the fixed up devotees. And when I first joined the temple, then the devotees said, you have to become fixed up. Which meant basically go to the program and do your service. Didn't mean necessarily that we were particularly advanced, but just doing that puts us in the process. We're hearing the philosophy, we're learning how to apply it, we're making mistakes as we go along often. But we can perfect that learning process, if you like, quickest and the fastest in the association of the devotees. The third class, and the other Bhagavatam is the message of Godhead. So the other Bhagavatam is the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the literature, the Vedanta Shruti, is mentioned here. So two Bhagavats that the third class devotee has to take advantage of. Why Srila Prabhupada translated so many books and wanted the devotees to distribute literature? It's a brahminical activity. Prabhupada wanted to establish a brahminical class that would be empowered to instruct society so that the course of history would be changed. This was Prabhupada's vision. That he wanted to create a society and a culture of learning, of spiritual advancement, spiritual learning, that would change the course of history. Because basically the course of history for most people is what? Downwards into tamaguna. But the or passion, but basically passion deteriorates into tamā. Right? This is the nature of passion. Prabhupada wanted a brahminical class, and based on the Bhagavat philosophy, because that's what the Bhagavatam is all about. As Prabhupada mentions, the sages at Namasharanya got together, just like. They have conferences today. And the conferences bring in learned people who give presentations and then they try to come to some conclusion. And then they advise the governments, here's what you should be doing. So the sages of Namasharanya came together to have a conference to to decide what will the residents of Kali Yuga, what can they do to counteract the evil effects of this age? Right? And of course they came up with a conclusion. The Bhagavatam holds the principles of religiosity. The Bhagavatam holds the key to reversing the inevitable influence of Kali. So the Bhagavat devotee and the Bhagavat book, very, very powerful. And the seriously inquisitive student, Tatsradhana Munayo, if he wants to be properly endowed with learning, what is it here? Jnana, Vairagya, Yuktaya, endowed with, what's Yuktaya? Well equipped with. Then one has to follow this process. Learning from the devotees, the established devotees, the fixed up devotees, the advanced devotees, and hearing from the Srimad Bhagavatam, reading the Bhagavatam, very, very powerful. The path of liberation is opened for one who hears the topics of the Bhagavatam from the devotees. Apavagasya, Vartmani, that's the path of liberation. Shraddha, as a result, one's faith increases. When we hear the Bhagavatam in association with the devotees, then our faith in the process increases. Rati, our taste our taste increases, and our bhakti, our devotional service, increases. In the beginning of the story of Trinavarta in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, let me have a look here. Where is it here? King Parikshit says to Sukadeva Goswami, all the various activities exhibited by the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are certainly pleasing to the ear and to the mind. But when we hear topics of Krishna's pastimes in all of the different incarnations, then for the devotee they're very attractive. This is a symptom of a devotee, actually. We were discussing at Krishna Fest the other day, there are two different types of talking. Do you know what they are? Useless and useful. The karmis are interested in the useless. And Prabhupada says, you know, so many newspapers, the international news, the country news, the state news, the local news, the business news, the entertainment guide, the footy, the cricket. You know, just if you see the Age on the weekend, it's just a big thick thing. All useless. And it attracts the karmis, right? Those who are interested in material pursuits, they absorb themselves in this. But of course, what does that mean for the transcendentalists? They shun that. Because it means more bondage and more just caught up in material existence. More confused. Right? Read a newspaper and you come away, ooh, what was that? What's going on? You know, I can't work out what's going on, I'm just confused. Read the Bhagavatam, everything becomes very crystal clear. Life becomes simple. One starts to see things from a completely different perspective. Here it mentions, actually, very interesting. And it says, realizes that absolute truth. One realizes the absolute truth by rendering devotional service. So we actually get to see. And in the word for word, Prabhupada says realizes the absolute truth, but in the word for word it says pasyanti atmani chatmanam, and Prabhupada translates that sees the super soul within himself. Right. Which is not incompatible with the process of bhakti, because you know the Paramatma is a feature of Bhagavan. So one who follows the process of devotional service surely must see the Paramatma. Right? And we should be able to, you know, if we're making advancement, we should be able to see. At least theoretically, we can see. One thing that struck me yesterday, not that I was seeing the Paramatma necessarily, but I went down to Doggy Park to chant my rounds, which is where I like to go because it's quiet. But of course, on a weekend there's lots of doggies and human beings, and I was just looking at the different types of dogs and the different types of human beings. It's quite bewildering. And then looking at the trees, and there's such a variety of trees. And then I was thinking, in each one of these living entities, there's the same spirit soul. I said, isn't that amazing? That due to the karma of each living entity, each one gets a different body. Right? Now, I don't normally think like that in my confused state of existence. But why are we able to think like that and see like that? Because we associate with the Bhagavatam. And because we associate with the devotees. And because we follow the powerful, and here Prabhupada says the only perfect method, right, of self-realization. Now, if we're following the only perfect method of self-realization and not able to see things clearly, what does that mean? Huh? We're doing something wrong. We're not following. Right? This is why one has to be seriously inquisitive. Serious. Seriously. Seriously serious. Touch Sradhadhana Munayo. To be a Muni or a sage. To be learned. Or, in our case, at least to just be a beginner. Right? We have to be serious. So, how do we do it? Simply by, Maharaj Preachit says, simply by one's hearing of these activities, the dirty things in one's mind immediately vanish. Pretty amazing. I mean, think about it. This is why the Bhagavatam is so important. Why hearing the Bhagavatam is so important. Why associating with the devotees is so important. Because in our hearts, as a result of having been in the material world for a long, long time, there are seeds of material desires. But, as is mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, the process of devotional service is so powerful that it uproots these seeds of material desires so that they can't germinate. Right? Prabhupada mentions, you know, the process of jnana and certainly of jnana is like it burns up the plants on the surface, but it doesn't get the seeds out of the ground. Whereas the process of devotional service, especially hearing the Bhagavatam, attacks the problem at the root, which is where it needs to be attacked. And that's done by this hearing. Generally, we are reluctant to hear, this is Maharaj Preekrit talking to Sukadeva Goswami. Generally, we are reluctant to hear about the activities of the Lord. Right? We come to the Bhagavatam class, I know I do this sometimes, working too hard, or I have done. Pray that I don't do it again. Come to the Bhagavatam class so tired because you're working, doing too much, and then what do? Fall asleep. We're still hearing the Bhagavatam. Better to be asleep in the Bhagavatam class than not there at all. I guess. Right? But there are better ways. This is just third class, it's not second class. But, and this is referring specifically to Krishna's childhood pastimes. The Krishna's childhood activities are so attractive, this is Maharaj Pariksit speaking, that they are automatically pleasing to the mind and the ear. You know, Krishna in his childhood pastimes is especially wonderful because he's just a baby. You know, and babies generally are helpless. You know, what is the first thing Krishna does is destroy Putana. Right? Completely destroys her. Next thing he does is, just with a flick of his foot, smashes the Sakatasura, the cart. Then Trinavarta tries to pick him up and run. Actually, Krishna wanted to go flying. So he made himself so heavy that Mother Yashoda had to put him down. Couldn't hold him anymore. And her affection and love for Krishna was such that she thought that something inauspicious was happening, so she wanted to go and find the brahmanas to come and form the swastiyayana ceremonies, you know, to create auspiciousness. But actually Krishna wanted to test her love and affection. And also he wanted to fly in the sky. So he knew that Trinavarta was coming, also under the influence of his yoga maya for his pastimes. And then, you know, after having made himself as heavy as anything, he made himself as light as a feather so that Trinavarta could just pick him up and whoosh, off he went. But then again, he made himself as heavy as anything. So Trinavarta came crashing, you know, couldn't release himself from Krishna's grip. And Krishna's just a baby. I mean, how, you know, what's a baby? What's a baby can't strangle anything. But Krishna didn't have to manifest a form like Nrisimhadev to destroy Trinavarta. Didn't have to, you know, do anything extremely powerful. Just as a little baby, he made himself super heavy and crash, down came Trinavarta, destroyed. So these pastimes are very, very attractive for the devotees, because Krishna is just a little baby. Yet, as Prabhupada points out, as the Acharyas point out, Krishna is all-powerful, whether he's a baby or whether he's Lord Nrisimhadeva in his ferocious form. He's always the all-powerful personality of Godhead. But he doesn't want to disturb the mood of the Brajabasis. Although he tests Mother Yashoda. But her affection for Krishna as a baby, is never deviated by any of these displays. They think, oh, in the case of the killing of Trinavarta, the residents of Vrindavan were thinking, oh, how pious is Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men. How pious we must be. And how impious Trinavarta is, because he tried to kidnap a child and he was automatically destroyed by the result of his impious activities. They weren't thinking, oh, you know, they didn't see Krishna's Aishwarya or his, even though he was revealing it, they didn't see it. They still had love for and affection for him. So these pastimes of Krishna very, very attractive and powerful. Are automatically pleasing to the mind and ear. Thus, one's attachment for hearing about material things, and this is something that we have to, you know, we want to avoid being materialistic devotees. So here's how to do it. Hear the pastimes of Krishna, especially Krishna's childhood pastimes. Thus, one's attachment for hearing about material things, which is the root cause of material existence, vanishes. And one gradually develops devotional service to the Lord. Again here, one gradually develops devotional service to the Lord, attachment for him, and friendship with devotees. Bhaktiya, haro, tatpurushai cha sakyam, attraction to the association of the devotees. So one, the end result of hearing the Bhagavatam, especially Krishna's childhood pastimes, but any of the pastimes of the Lord, practically speaking, while we studied the Bhagavatam from the beginning to the end, will diminish our attraction for material things, will increase our attraction for the association of the devotees, and will increase our attraction to hear in the association of the devotees, so that our devotional service is enhanced. Okay. The third class devotee therefore has to go to the personality of devotee in order to learn the instructions of devotional service. I'll go through them. It's getting a bit late. I'll go a bit more quickly here. Such a personality of... Now, a warning. Such a devotee is not a professional man to satisfy his senses. Such a personality of devotee is not a professional man who earns his livelihood by the business of Bhagavatam. Although we could say our business is the Bhagavatam, and our business is preaching. Isn't it? Prabhupada says our business is the Bhagavatam, and our business is preaching. But we're not in the business to make money. Right, we're not in the business for sense gratification. We're in the business for serving Krishna. It's a different kind of business. It's not business at all, actually. Although, what does Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur talk about? The marketplace of the holy name. Right? So there are transactions and there are dealings. There is commercial activity. But it's trading in the holy name and trading in the topics of the Bhagavatam. Right? This is our business transactions and business dealings. Such a devotee, because I was thinking, you know, in one sense my livelihood is preaching the Bhagavatam. But we should make sure that's what our livelihood, that our livelihood is nourished by the Bhagavatam and not by, you know, getting donations from people because we're speaking. Which can happen. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was dissatisfied with his disciples, the sannyasi disciples, who were bickering over which room they would have in the mutt. I mentioned this the other day. So our motivation, again, should not be material. Our motivation should be spiritual. Such a devotee must be a representative of Sukadeva Goswami, like Sudha Goswami, and must preach the cult of devotional service for the all-around benefit of all people. Now, what's the qualification of Sudha Goswami? He had satisfied his gurus. He understood the philosophy, and he was able to present it. Sukadeva Goswami also understood the Bhagavatam and was able to present it. Nigama kalpataro galitam phalam. The Bhagavatam is considered to be the ripe fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge, even enhanced by the pecking of the parrot, that Sukadeva. So he enhanced the Bhagavatam by his understanding and his presentation. Faithful to the message of the Bhagavatam. So therefore, for the benefit of everybody. A neophyte devotee has very little taste from hearing from the authorities. Right? Who likes being told what to do? Not many people. That's the test. Seeing Krishna's devotees as Krishna's representatives and then following their instructions. That can be really tough. Sometimes we're told to do things that we don't want to do. Or Krishna tells us to do things that we don't want to do. That's why we have to keep hearing. Because sometimes we don't have that taste. You know, jaundice. A jaundiced person needs to take sugar, candy, to cure the disease of jaundice. But sugar candy, even though it's a cure, tastes bitter. So in the beginning, chanting Hare Krishna and hearing the Bhagavatam, it's sometimes bitter. But it's the cure. Such a neophyte devotee makes a show of hearing from the professional man to satisfy his senses. This sort of hearing and chanting has spoiled the whole thing. So one should be very careful about the faulty process. Right? So we can actually be engaged in the process of hearing and chanting, but with the wrong motivation or hearing from the wrong person. And, you know, not making progress. The holy messages of Godhead, as inculcated in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, are undoubtedly transcendental subjects, but even though they are so, such transcendental matters are not to be received from the professional man who spoils them as the serpent spoils milk simply by the touch of his tongue. And we're also similarly advised not to hear from impersonalists. Huh? A sincere devotee must, this is the last paragraph of the purport. A sincere devotee must therefore be prepared to hear the Vedic literature, like the Upanishads, Vedanta, and other literatures left by the previous authorities or Goswamis for the benefit of his progress. Narottam Das Thakur prays, you know, when that day comes when I'll understand the literature of the Goswamis, then I'll understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And without hearing and following the instructions, hearing and following, pari pranipatena pari prasnena sevaya. So, hearing, shradhana means being respectful, seriously inquisitive, but then, what? Sevaya, doing something about it. We're not armchair philosophers. We actually should be putting this philosophy into practice. The show of devotional service without hearing and following the instructions, the show of devotional service becomes worthless and therefore a sort of disturbance on the path of devotional service. Unless, therefore, devotional service is established on the principles of Shruti, Smriti, Purana or Pancharatra authorities, the make show of devotional service should at once be rejected. Like Prabhupada talks about show bottle. Our devotional service shouldn't be just a show, it should have substance. It will have substance when we engage in the hearing and chanting process seriously. Taking advantage of the Bhagavatam, the number one Bhagavat, the established personality of devotee, and number two, the Bhagavat, the book, or the devotional literature. And in this verse, Shruta Grihitaya means receiving the messages of the Vedas. Prabhupada translates it here. Unless therefore an unauthorized devotee should never be recognized as a pure devotee. Again, discrimination is required. We discriminate who we go and hear from. We listen to what we're hearing and we inquire if we don't understand something. By assimilation of such messages from the Vedic literatures, one can see, and here's the result, one can see the all-pervading, localized aspect of the personality of Godhead within his own self constantly, This is called samadhi, which is pretty amazing. The end result is that we see Krishna in a form, or we sense the presence of the Lord in a form of the super soul. This is called samadhi. So, regularly hearing from the devotees, regularly hearing from the Bhagavad, one will be, by following the process of devotional service, naturally endowed with jnana and vairagya. The more we make advancement, the more learned we will become, and the more detached we should be from material existence. And then as a result, we'll be pratyaksavagamam damyam, directly perceiving that we're not the body, for a start. Let's just start off with that, we should realize. But here, more advanced, we should see the Paramatma. We should sense the presence of the Lord within the heart. Ramayan sabhabhutanam jantra rudhani mayaya ridesha juna tishtati. Was it? Krishna mentions. Ishvaraha sabhabhutanam ridesha juna tishtati. I'm the controller of everybody. I'm situated within the heart of everyone who is seated on a machine as if made of material energy. I'm directing the wanderings of everybody who are situated as if on a machine made of the material energy. So we should have that, according to what's being said here, what Prabhupada's pointing out. We should see, feel the presence of the Lord as a result of our devotional practice. How good is that? And if we're not, keep at it. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Has to be a question that I can answer in 30 seconds.
Yeah. Who are there some people who pursue Brahman realization or Paramatma realization?
The jnanis and the yogis. The jnanis, in a modern age, who are the jnanis? You know, in this day and age, actually, there's not very many transcendentalists around. But there are some who focus on the Brahman as the... There are some yoga groups who focus on the Brahman. You know, they're not the... You don't meet them, generally speaking, walking down Swanson Street. But there are some. And there are yogis, but the yogis who actually see this Paramatma so advanced, so, you know, adept at following the yoga. Mostly, you know, yoga practice in this day and age is, you know, to be healthy, basically. It's a health regime, but it's not really practice to see the super soul. So... But, you know, there probably are. There must be some yogis who are able to do that. It's very rare, because it's Kali Yuga also. So the quality of people, even the quality of devotees. Huh? This is why Kali Yuga is described as being such a fortunate age. It's full of faults, but Kirtana Deva Krishna Sya Mukta Sangha Param Brajet, that we can chant Hare Krishna. And you know, all of the devotees here are actually Brahman realized and Paramatma realized to a degree, because they have Bhagavan. They see Krishna And so they, you know, if I say, all of you who know the Paramatma, please raise your hands, at least we know who he is, which is not, you know, most people don't, right? But there are some, but you know, it's just not, it's rare to find a transcendentalist. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatiti siddhaya yatatam apisiddhanam kaschin mam veti tattvataha. So Krishna says, out of many thousands among men, hardly one endeavours for perfection, especially in the Kali Yuga. The endeavour for perfection is to know that I'm not the body. That's Brahman realisation to start with. Right? Very few people. What to speak of knowing Krishna in truth, that's even more elevated. But, you know, to a degree, each one of the devotees here has some degree of advancement in Krishna consciousness and so has some understanding of each of these aspects. That's the power of bhakti. Very powerful. Is that alright? Materialistic devotees.
Yeah.
How do we encourage them?
Yeah.
Set a good example.
Be
respectful to everybody. That's what Lord Chaitanya recommends. Trinada pisa nichina tarora vasahishnina amana dina kirtani asadahari. We have to be respectful to everybody. We have to be. It's a tricky thing because we do need, and it's a fact that Krishna consciousness also attracts people with material motivations. Otherwise, why does Prabhupada talk about third class devotees? Right? So we have to watch out for third class devotees if we want to be a second class devotee. We may be even the third class devotees that we should avoid. So we've got to be especially careful. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I was reading last night in a little piece that he wrote about in The Harmonist about Putana, and he mentions that if one doesn't have the association of an advanced devotee, then one has to have a carefully honed sense of discrimination in oneself, right? So we need to, you know, I mean, just here's an example. Some friends of mine used to encourage me to go to the temple and go to Mangalarti before I became a devotee. But then, well, maybe this is a bit rough. Another friend of mine who encouraged me to go to the temple took me to the temple. But you know, after going to the temple, he used to go home and smoke a bit of dope. Huh? Hooli Dooli. I won't mention his name. Now, but I owe a debt to that person because he took me to the temple and encouraged me to chant. And so at that stage of my devotional life, he helped me. You know what I mean? But then later on, I realised I probably shouldn't be hanging around with this guy when he goes home and smokes dope. Right? It's just a very crude example of how we have to discriminate. And it gets more subtle as it goes on. We may be performing devotional service with some material motivation. For position. For prestige. For the glorification that we get. Oh, you're such a wonderful devotee. Oh, yes, I am. Actually, I am a pretty advanced devotee. Huh? So, now, how do we help people? It depends on relationship. Some people, and it depends on friendship, right? Depends on intimacy or rasa, you know, the relationship that we have with someone. I might be able to go to you and explain to you some aspect of devotional service that you can improve on as a senior and as the temple president, because that's my, you know, that's one of my roles. But I might be doing something wrong, but it's probably inappropriate for you to pull me aside and say, listen, Prabhu, there's something that I want to tell you. Do you know what I mean? The appropriate way to deal with a senior is to ask another senior to or somebody who's senior to them, can you, I see there's a problem here, can you help? Right? So there are ways, it depends on, you know, depending on the relationship that we have with a person and the intimacy, the friendship that we have with them, we will be in a position to influence them. In some cases, the influence that we have is minimal, but just by setting a good example, we'll have an influence on everybody and that person in particular if we see some issue. So it depends on the receptivity. Just like if we're out on book distribution and we meet somebody, we can't immediately shove the Bhagavad Gita down their throat and tell them, okay, surrender. Huh? Sarva dhammam parijaja, mame kam saranam braja. Can't do that. There's no relationship. There's no respect. There's no intimacy. Sometimes you meet a person who is. And so therefore, you know, discrimination is important. Now, how do you do that? By practice. Sometimes you make mistakes. Especially when we're younger and we think we're more advanced than we really are. I'm now mature. In fact, you know, I still haven't got to that. Still haven't got the stage of maturity to be able to work out sometimes what's appropriate and what's not. But you know, over a period of years and lots of singed feathers, you'll work it out. So one has to be aware of one's own position, one has to be aware of the position of others, and then deal with them appropriately. But you know, respect is the basis of relationships amongst Vaishnavas. That's the basis. But the real effective, I mentioned this the other day, the real effective relationship is friendship, at least. You know, there's some intimacy. Because, you know, a friend is always going to be concerned about the welfare of another. Isn't it? And so you won't just blast them with the Bhagavad Gita. Just surrender to Krishna, you're in Maya. What do you reckon? Make friends with people first, then shoot them. Well, when we say shoot them, we shoot the demon, not the devotee. And even then, we're mindful of the devotee. We don't want to hurt the devotees. But, you know, having said that, you know, sometimes a senior, has to straighten out a junior or a student, has to be taught by the teacher, and sometimes or a parent has to correct the child, right? So how to apply the correction with affection but firmly so that it is effective, that's an art that has to be learned. Janeshwara, you had a comment. And he doesn't mention the first, interestingly enough. Yes.
So is it the same as the three level of the first class, the second class, and third class?
Yeah, that's what he's talking about. Uttama Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, Kanishta Adhikari. Partially realize the plenary portion. They partially realize the Paramatma. That's what it means. If Prabhupada waited for all of his disciples to become fully realized in Krishna consciousness in order to preach, then the Krishna consciousness movement wouldn't got as far as it has. Right? You and I probably wouldn't be here. It's very interesting, you know. Prabhupada was criticized for allowing women to live in temples, for creating brahmanas from unqualified people, for giving sannyas, right, to men who later fell down even. Prabhupada was criticized for that. Right? But Prabhupada said, those who criticize me for all of their strictness, what have they done? Nothing. And me, for all of my, I mean, he didn't say slackness, but you know, for all of my adjustments, look what I was able to do. So, there's a quotation, I think, of Tina, I can't remember what it is, but basically you judge the tree by the fruit it produces.